A reading from the book of Genesis. The Lord God fashioned man of dust from the soil. Then he breathed into his nostrils a breath of life, and thus man became a living being. The Lord God planted a garden in Eden, which is in the east, and there he put the man he had fashioned. The Lord God caused to spring up from the soil every kind of tree, enticing to look at and good to eat, with the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the middle of the garden. The serpent was the most subtle of all the wild beasts that the Lord God had made. It asked the woman, "Did God really say, 'You were not to eat from any of the trees in the garden?'" The woman answered the serpent, "We may eat the fruit of the trees in the garden, but of the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden, God said, 'You must not eat it, nor touch it, under pain of death.'" Then the serpent said to the woman, "No, you will not die. God knows, in fact, that on the day you eat it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like gods, knowing good and evil." The woman saw that the tree was good to eat and pleasing to the eye, and that it was desirable for the knowledge that it could give. So she took some of its fruit and ate it. She gave some also to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together to make themselves loin clothes. The word of the Lord.
Have mercy on us, O Lord, for we have sinned. Have mercy on us, O Lord, for we have sinned. Have mercy on me, God, in your kindness. In your compassion, blot out my offense. Oh, wash me more and more from my guilt, and cleanse me from my sin. Have mercy on us, O Lord, for we have sinned. My offenses, truly I know them. My sin is always before me. Against you, you alone have I sinned. What is evil in your sight I have done. Have mercy on us, O Lord, for we have sinned. A pure heart create for me, O God. Put a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, nor deprive me of your Holy Spirit. Have mercy on us, O Lord, for we have sinned. Give me again the joy of your help. With a spirit of fervor, sustain me. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall declare your praise. Have mercy on us, O Lord.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Sin entered the world through one man, and through sin, death. And thus death has spread through the whole human race, because everyone has sinned. If it is certain that death reigned over everyone as a consequence of one man's fall, it is even more certain that one man, Jesus Christ, will cause everyone to reign in life who receives the free gift that he does not deserve, of being made righteous. Again, as one man's fall brought condemnation on everyone, so the good act of one man brings everyone to life and makes them justified. As by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. The word of the Lord.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus was led by the Spirit out into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, after which he was very hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to turn into loaves." But he replied, "Scripture says, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." The devil then took him to the holy city and made him stand on the parapet of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for Scripture says, he will put you in his angels' charge, and they will support you on their hands, in case you hurt your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Scripture also says, you must not put the Lord your God to the test." Next, taking him to a very high mountain, the devil showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "I will give you all these," he said, "if you fall at my feet and worship me." Then Jesus replied, "Be off, Satan, for Scripture says, you must worship the Lord your God and serve him alone." Then the devil left him, and angels appeared and looked after him. The Gospel of the Lord. A pastoral letter from Bishop Terence Patrick, to be read on the weekend of the 25th and 26th of February. Dear sisters and brothers, you probably won't sing Christmas carols on your summer holidays. They would be out of place. More than likely, you wouldn't turn up for a wedding wearing your gardening or DIY clothes. It just wouldn't be respectful. If you have invited friends round for a nice relaxing evening, you wouldn't think of painting the dining room partway through the meal. And it wouldn't be right, the right time or the occasion. Yet so often, our celebrations of Lent, Holy Week, and particular the Triduum, are treated as if they were just ordinary everyday events and celebrations, nothing special, just run-of-the-mill. This surely can't be right. Let us just hear what the Church tells us about the Triduum. The Triduum transcends all other days, beyond feast or solemnity, beyond even holy days of obligation. The liturgical spirit sees within the Paschal Triduum a festival that gives meaning and life to all festivals and contains within itself the mystery of all other days and seasons. And all of you, and all of the celebrations within the Triduum, the Easter Vigils, stands out par excellence. The Easter Vigil is the most important liturgy of the year. It's a celebration of our faith in the resurrection, the cornerstone of our belief. Ranking highest among the celebrations of the liturgical year, it should rank in the spiritual life of us all. The entire vigil takes place at night. The lateness of the hour and the length of the vigil causes inconvenience for some of us. It is hoped, however, that the vigil is the kind of experience for which people willingly inconvenience themselves. On some special occasions, we give up sleep or relaxation for entertainment, family, or friends. At the vigil, we give up sleep and personal convenience for our faith. One of the symbols of the Easter Vigil is its length. We take time for community and prayer around the mystery of the resurrection, because nothing else matters more. Hearing the readings will be a challenge to many of us who are unaccustomed to them, but together the readings convey more fully the mystery of God's plan of salvation, while they give the sense of what a vigil is. The vigil is the culmination of all Lenten efforts and sacrifices. It cannot just be treated as another Saturday evening Mass. For this reason, every year I offer strong advice and suggestion as to the earliest time the Easter Vigil Mass should begin. It isn't just on a whim or to be awkward. It isn't to cause inconvenience or to be objectionable. It is so that we can celebrate the most important liturgical event our spiritual and church life in the efficacious and solemn way. While I know that the advice is ignored by some and bemoaned by others, and I have many letters on my desk to remind me, I still offer the strong advice that the vigil this year should not begin before nightfall, which is around 8:30 p.m. There should be no celebration of Mass on Holy Saturday before this time. In a world that is so busy and self-absorbed, in a culture of where God and spiritual are not even given a second thought, in a society where the place of worship and religious celebrations are given scant notice, let us take time and make effort to recall the great mysteries of our salvation. Let's make the words of that beautiful Lenten and Passiontide hymn our own. My song is love unknown, my Saviour's love to me, love to the loveless shown, that they might lovely be. This is my friend, in whose sweet praise I all my days could gladly spend. Will I, or will you, look towards Lent as a time to spend with Jesus? Yours in blessed hope, Terence Patrick, Bishop of Middlesbrough.